Big question for today. Who wants to start?
She doesn't say anything. Okay.
Yeah.
What did I want to ask? This probably will be just a very short answer. Where is it when you talk the most detailed about this, the tabernacle and those different steps in the tabernacle? Is it the transformation series?
I do go into that in the transformation. In fact, the whole transformation series really follows that pathway where you're going into the realms of heaven, through the different realms of heaven and engaging in the different realms of heaven, but patterned after the outer court and the inner court, holy holies, you know, in a process. And that's the major pattern of heaven, but also it is a tabernacle pattern. So, yeah, when you present yourself as a living sacrifice, you're sort of moving through the way, the veil of the way, the veil of the truth, the veil of the life, into the Holy of Holies, and that's the process of preparing yourself. Because the key to it is that whole pathway of preparing yourself as a living sacrifice goes into deeper into the realms of heaven as you learn to yield to a deeper level. It also goes from outside in. So you start with the skins, so removing the skin. Having killed the sacrifice, the high priest killed the sacrifice, then the skin's removed, which deals with the outer portion of our behavioral things, the things that are coping mechanisms, things that are on the surface, and then goes into then opening up the body and taking the inner parts out and cleansing the inner parts, and then goes deeper then into, you get chopping off the head, chopping off the legs, and that stuff. And so that then follows the pattern of Hebrews 4:12 in separating soul and spirit, which is finding out what are the things and our behaviors are coming directed from the soul and the spirit, then dealing with the thoughts and intentions of the heart, the motives of the heart, looking at the inside things, looking at bloodlines and the issues of cleansing the things in our lives. And then the deepest level is between dividing bone and marrow, which is talking about the genetic level changes and transformation. And so all that is patterned after the tabernacle, and it yields us into the place where we can engage God around the ark of his presence. And the purpose of that in Romans 12 is so we will know what his will is, so we can serve him. Mm. And therefore the whole pathway is going from out and in deeper and deeper into the place where we're engaging with God and we're learning to do what he's calling us to do as his son and as a Lord, eventually as a king, as a son. And so that process goes very much as the pathway really of taking responsibility for our lives, yielding our lives to the Lordship of Jesus, yielding to his kingship so we become a Lord, then yielding to the Father so eventually we become a son. And that pathway all goes from sort of outside in. The other pathway of engagement very much is the inside out pathway, the pathway of opening up the first love gate for relationship. Mm-hmm. So that relationship where you're establishing the intimacy with God, learning to sense him in your spirit, inviting him into the garden of your heart, getting a flow of the spirit flowing through you to create the atmosphere around you so that you're a gateway of heaven on earth of heaven. That all flows from that way, and then that connects us to heaven to engage with the river of life and the garden of God and the tree of life. And so that all builds the relationship of understanding who we are as children of God, understanding our identity as his sons, understanding who we are as our redemptive gift and our destiny, so that when we grow into that relationship, then we are able then to engage more easily in the other pathway of then going through into sonship, engaging on mountains, ruling the thrones there, accessing the courts and the different courts as a son and as a Lord, they work together. So you sort of have the outside in and the inside out working together to make sure we're fully open and fully yielded and cleansed and transformed, you know, at each level of our lives. So, yeah, so that teaching is in the Transformation Series. And at the very end of it, in the last session, I go into how it relates to the different realms of heaven and how that is pictured and where the courts are in the different realms of heaven and where the different things operate.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, okay. Yeah. I still have to do all that. I know that is. I have to go through that whole series, you know, and put that into practice.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah. in this series, Kingdom Prayers, I think. You
can
said
you
something
hear me? Sorry. I thought you just started to talk, but it felt as if nobody was hearing me. But go ahead. I can ask that later after you by cross.
You talk about the quantum field. You said God wants us to speak it out because of this quantum field.
Yeah.
Everything that God says exists as little waves of potential possibilities. When we apply faith to them, I understand that, and observe them and measure them, they become material matter. Yeah. Energy turns into matter. I understand that too, but we have to observe and measure it. How, like, if we got a word somewhere, how do we observe and measure it?
Okay. Let me think. Now, that was a while ago that I taught that. Basically, this world, this physical realm, has been created out of the spiritual realm, and the spiritual realm holds this world together. So it's called, you know, some people call it the quantum field, some people call it zero point energy. It's where at a very, very fundamental quantum particle level, at Planck's constant, which is the smallest measurable particle, after that things become non-local. So they exist in a non-local sphere where they're accessed into the quantum realm or into that realm or into the spiritual realm, if you think of it that way. And so we, at that level ourselves, are constantly connected to that realm that gives energy and life to this realm. And hence, you know, everything, if without the connection to that spiritual realm and the place where that power and the voice of God, if you like, is still vibrating and connected to this realm and supplying energy into this realm, without that, everything would basically fall apart. And even to the point where energy that is from there keeps the atoms, you know, where you get in an atom, you get a nucleus and you get electrons and protons that are going round and things like that. If there was no energy being introduced into the system from that realm of the spirit or the quantum realm, then those atoms would circle down and eventually collide into the nucleus and the whole thing would collapse. So it takes energy to maintain those orbits and to maintain the orbits of everything in the universe, and that comes from that realm. And it comes from the realm in the thing. The Word of God says, you know, everything's held together by the word of His power. So it's His word which empowers this realm. And so when He spoke creation into being, and it all spoke out, and He took me back on the timeline and showed me that at one stage, and it was an awesome thing to see. And to feel, you know, you had waves of energy and light and sound and all electromagnetic spectrum of all the realms of the spirit and everything just bursting out from Him into the creation. Now, scientists would call it the Big Bang. You know, I called it just God speaking out of His thoughts. He manifested His thoughts into creative order by speaking. And so He spoke it out, and He spoke out light and sound and fragrance and mathematical formula, and everything there creatively came and produced the whole universe. Now, we also have creative power because we're made in the image of God, and we also have the ability to connect up with this realm. And so when God spoke to me originally about this, when I went into heaven and he gave me a sort of this quantum physics lesson and explained this to me, how he explained it to me was, there's a scientific principle or theory called string theory. And in string theory, it basically it's the theory of everything, how everything works. And it really says at the fundamental building blocks of the whole universe are tiny little donut strings of energy, which creates every single particle, every single atom. Everything is made up originally of these little strings of energy. And how, what he showed me was that everything we look at generally is basically mostly empty space. And so if you take the atom the nucleus of an atom and the electron that's orbiting the atom and put it into terms of the nucleus is a football and the atom is like a golf ball, then they would be like 300 meters or something apart because there's that much space between the two. So we are effectively mostly empty space, but it isn't empty space. That space contains the strings and the vibrating particles that are continually like God's voice, if you like, which empowers everything to be what it is. And so God's voice is continuing to vibrate and has a frequency that connects up with us and our life and our frequency and our color and our fragrance and our sound and who we are, all produces the harmony of the symphony of creation, if you like. So there's this great symphony which is in heaven and connected on earth, which is supposed to harmonize. But heaven and earth became disharmonized because they became disconnected, and God His desire is that it would bring everything back into harmony and connection. And so a lot of people today are hearing this sound coming out of heaven, or they're feeling this vibration out of heaven. And then how it works is by another term called resonance. And so when a major frequency and a minor frequency come together and they become close, the minor frequency takes on the same frequency as the major frequency, and it happens like with a tuning fork that you can get it and the two sounds become one. If you put a guitar next to it, two guitars next to each other, and play the strings on one, the other strings will vibrate. And so God is wanting and releasing a vibrating frequency of his essence, if you like. It could be, you think of his thoughts or his will, his purpose, and we are supposed to come close to him and then begin to vibrate at the same resonance, or we resonate with him, and therefore we're in tune with him, another way of putting it would be, and then we're in unity or harmony, and then we can see the fullness of what God's desire is to be outworked. And the power of that resonant frequencies can be seen in a historical event that happened in the UK on a bridge. I think it was called a Tacoma Bridge, and you can see it on YouTube as a YouTube clip. And this bridge was a suspension bridge, and it was built over the Tacoma River, I think. And one day the wind started to blow, and the frequency of the wind matched the frequency of the bridge, and the whole bridge began to vibrate and to roll. Wow. And until it basically fell apart. The power of it completely destroyed the bridge. So when you come into harmony and two resonant frequencies agree, there is power which is released. And so when God spoke to me about how this worked, he basically said, according to Ephesians 4:6, it says that God is through in it and in everything. So his voice is still vibrating within us to hold us together, if you like. And that is connected to this quantum realm, which continually energizes it at a quantum level so that we are all held together. And also, in terms of quantum physics, basically this is a really strange thing, but scientifically speaking, nothing exists until it's observed. So until something is observed, it doesn't exist. But when you observe it, it comes into existence. So this whole universe, quantum physically, wouldn't exist unless it was being observed. And there's all sorts of fairly weird and wacky theories about who's observing it, but of course we know that God's observing it. So his observation enables us to exist. And it's really fortunate that he doesn't wink. Because if he winked and blinked, we would be blinking in and out of existence. He is constant, and he is always, he was, and he is, and he is to come. He's completely constant and eternal, which is why we exist. So when it comes to us, that same strings of energy, which he basically described to me as his grace. His grace is his divine enabling power. And so his grace is available in everything, in us. So literally in my hand, in the emptiness of the space within my hand, it's vibrating and pulsing with the energy of God's voice, his grace. And if I connect with that grace through faith, then I can connect and produce a charge of anointing to see things happen, miracles, healing, transformation, changing matter and changing energy into matter, changing water into wine, all the things that Jesus did, walking on water, miracles of disappearing into that quantum realm and appearing out of that quantum realm when he disappeared, when he went through the crowd that were trying to throw him off the cliff, he went into his whole being, the frequency of his being, his body, was able to resonate or come into agreement with the frequency of that quantum realm, and therefore, he disappeared, and he was able to walk through people because he had dematerialized from this realm to that because he's connected to it. We are also connected to it, and we've just not learned how to mix faith with that frequency to bring those things about. Now, it's possible to do that. And so when you pray for somebody for healing, and you're in faith, you're believing for healing, God may have given you a word of knowledge about healing, or you may have a gift of healing operating, literally that faith mixing with the grace of God when we lay hands on people produces often vibration. Some people's hands vibrate. Sometimes there's heat produced in people's hands, and people feel it when they have it laid on them. Literally what that's doing is actually producing an anointed charge of energy, which is coming from that energy, the divine ability of God. It's all his divine ability. We just are channels of that to use it. So we can draw from that within us and release it out through our hand or through the words that we speak. Because our words, charged with that same energy, brought about by faith and grace coming together, can speak even at a very genetic level or to the DNA of someone or to the cells of someone to see those cells transformed, changed, to see cancer cells changed from back into their original purpose. We can see those things because we can speak out literally with like the voice of God. And so we're speaking out with power and authority. And when we understand how that touches into someone's genetic level or the cells of their body, the power is there to connect with their body and change it. Because their body is also vibrating at a frequency that if we align up, this will come. There's a lot of teaching and revelation being released to the body of Christ in these days, which are about frequency and harmony, and therefore there are certain musical frequencies and certain sound frequencies which are healing frequencies. And if it's like our body is made up of basically about 30 elements, I think. There's 11 elements which are pretty much essential, larger amounts of elements like carbon and that type of thing. Then there's about 20 what they call trace elements of chemicals, which are very small amounts of things which we would take in minerals and that type of stuff. Each of those elements has a frequency. And the frequency that God created those things with, when we bring harmonic frequencies to bring those back into original alignment, we see health and wholeness. We see our physical body matched up with its original frequency alignments, and therefore that stuff brings wholeness to us. And there's revelation being released about that. There's even an album, a song album, which a guy in the States, I think, produced, which I think you can get on David Van Kuvering's website, which is this symphony of the elements, of chemical elements. And so he's produced these songs, which are made up of the vibrating frequencies to bring things back into wholeness and alignment. And so there's a lot of revelation and teaching around about sound and frequency and harmony and even fragrance, where essential oils with different fragrances and properties, which are in the Bible, actually bring healing and wholeness to our physical body, because it brings these things back into alignment. Now, a lot of people have that's very New Agey, sort of very Eastern stuff. And yeah, the New Age movement has hijacked a lot of these things, operated them in the power of the soul, and they do work. But obviously in that realm, without the grace and the power of God at work, they often leave a negative deposit along with it, because it's coming from the wrong realm. But the principles still apply, and we just need to find out what the first principles are, where they came from God, and in coming from God, therefore we then need to engage with that and to cooperate with him. And he's releasing a lot of revelation today, which is great. And people are picking these things up in the realm of the spirit and prophesying them, and we're seeing a much more holistic way of looking at things, because God is giving revelation of how these quantum realms work, how they connect up with frequencies and sound and light, because basically God is light. It says God is light, God is love, God is spirit. All those things start to function together so that we can actually come everything back into harmony and alignment. And over the last couple of years, I've been hearing a sound that's been coming out of heaven. It's a series of notes, and I've been picking it up in worship times. I've been picking it up. My spirit is resonating with it and beginning to vibrate with it. And that sound is the sound that's calling sons back into alignment with heaven, with their eternal destiny. It's calling sons back into that heavenly harmony, that heavenly symphony. So I mean, it's an amazing sound. And many musicians are beginning to pick that sound up, and they're writing that sort of series of notes, and they're trying to put it into a word. And sometimes you see in songs recently, particularly the songs that are coming out of Bethel and Jesus Culture and a few others, they're picking up this sort of whoa, oh, oh sound. And there's this in and out and in and out sound. And the symbol really is a symbol of eternity, which is this covenant symbol of a figure of eight, but 3D. That's how I see it. And I quite often in worship, I find my hand drawing this symbol of eternity while I'm worshiping God, connecting up to this frequency and connecting up to this sound. And then recently in our worship times, it's like, you know, in the last few years, we've been looking to engage heaven and encourage people to step into the throne room and step into to meet God in heaven. And then obviously sometimes you invite God to come and meet with us and his glory to come and tangibly move in our presence and our meetings, and you see these, feel this weight of his presence coming. Well, over the last few weeks, I feel that when we've been worshiping, it's like heaven and earth has been overlapping, and it's like we've been picking up this vibrating sense and this resonance that's been going on, and that's been leading us into this speaking the letters of God's name and singing the letters of God's name, and the yod and the hey and the vav and the hey, and that is just bringing this resonance, which is basically to bring us back into transformational harmony with the image of Jesus, to conform us at a level which we have never imagined before. This is transformation that's bringing us back to eternal purpose and destiny, which even goes down to transforming of our bodies, transforming our DNA, bringing the light strands of DNA back into a harmony and connection with what Adam would have had if he hadn't have sinned. Adam had three strands of DNA, which were light. When he sinned, he lost his light strand, and then we got two strands of physical DNA. When we get born again, we get a third strand of light that comes in, which is this three-stranded cord, which is not easily broken, which it talks about in Ecclesiastes. And we often use that in a marriage ceremony between two people and the Lord in the middle. But actually, it's about us as people, in reality, of having three strands of DNA and having the light strand. But actually, God, each Father, Son, Holy Spirit has three strands of DNA. And so God wants us to eventually come into wholeness and harmony, where all these strands begin to come together to bring us back into eternal purpose as a spirit being. You know, and you know, I know Ian talks about being a human being and a living being and a spirit being, so that we are that being of light in what God's desire is for us. And there's so much more for us to come into when we're engaging with heaven and engaging with this these resonant frequencies of God and heaven coming to earth in that way that we yet to understand. But it's going to bring us back into a harmony with God in a way that we don't yet see fully, but people are picking this up. And so that, you know, there are things like the physics of heaven. There's a book that's come out of the physics of heaven, and you've got another book, the Quantum Glory, and these are wonderful books which sort of just expand these principles and just expand our understanding, you know, because the books are being opened and revelations being released. And you know, Jesus told parables of, you know, fishing and farming and different things. Well, we're getting parables today of the quantum parables of just seeing, because Jesus said to Nicodemus, I'm telling you things which have an earthly perspective, like being born again and going back into the womb sort of thing, which have an understanding of those things. You don't even understand those. How would you understand the heavenly things that have no earthly comparison or parable yet? But now we're getting those parables because we're having revelation that's being released, and God is bringing this sound of heaven, and we're starting to pick it up and starting to resonate. I was in Ireland over the weekend, and at the beginning of each of the sessions we did, we just began to sort of pray in tongues out loud together, and then we began to, almost like our bodies began to make sounds, and we were sort of making frequency sounds of, and some people were singing and humming, singing stuff, and it started to produce a resonance. And I felt this resonance in my spirit, and it opened up heaven, and the four living creatures came, and they stood in the corners of the room, and they had trumpets, and they were heralding something. And it was an amazing thing, and I began to feel this resonant harmony that was being produced as we were releasing a sound from us that was connecting with this sound from heaven and opening up the realms for us to experience. So there's a lot of things there that, you know, God's doing with that. And so when we, in our own personal life, see the things that God has called us to do, and we see the things that are written on our scroll, and we begin to engage what is His will for me and how am I to do the things He wants me to do, then we begin to frame the world around us with our words and with the frequency of our life. So when the Spirit of God coming through that first love gate on the inside us, coming through our soul gates and through our body gates and begins to form around us as an atmosphere of the Spirit around us, we begin to change things because we're framing that, and we can speak creative words and call things that be not as if they are, just like God did, and we're made in His image and we're made creative. And so understanding how that works then with the quantum field and the energy that comes from that realm, we're tapping into and connecting and harmonizing with that energy, and then when we begin to speak it out, we're actually seeing the waves of energy, if you like, begin to change things and transform things. And, you know, and obviously faith is the evidence of things not yet seen, but we have to see them in our spirit and in the spiritual realm to be able to release them into the natural realm so that then eventually they begin to manifest naturally, even though we've seen them in the spiritual realm. So that's why everything has to be done in heaven so it can be manifested on earth. So we see it in that realm that has the power to release it into this realm. And so we're engaging in those realms to be able to release that. And so I think, you know, there's a lot more that we're going to get understanding and revelation of. But it's cool stuff, and it's you know, I love that stuff. I'm really interested in scientific stuff in that way, and God spoke to me and gave me a lesson about it and showed me about light and the different things of waves and particles and how those things are a part of the creative process, you know, and how what those particles can connect with when we speak them, you know, when and even when we're in Christ or in God, it says, you know, literally we can like speak out from within. So we're speaking out through the face of the lion or the face of the eagle or the face of the ox or the face of the man, which carries the force and the power of that who God is and his character and his nature and from the different perspectives. So there's lots of stuff there. Well, I don't know if that answered the original question, but
I think it did, yeah. It is fascinating. Oh, it's great.
Okay.
Is Regina on or she's off right now, isn't she?
Not sure.
Her
picture's there.
You know, you said once that your bench of three, you are, I don't know what, lion and ox and eagle. How do you know that? Where does that come from? How do you know who is what?
Okay, well, when we were forming the bench of three here, we initially looked to engage with what God was calling us to do, and in that engagement we began to work things out relationally. Any bench of three and anything that's operating in these realms, you just have to operate in a relational way. You know, it's no longer enough to do things organizationally or structurally without the relationship that's around it and what God is doing through it. And so we began to work that through together. And then when we felt that each of us was in that position to accept that call into that level of responsibility and authority, we stepped into heaven together and we went to the Court of Chancellors where judicial things are agreed, and we got a scroll given to us each, and on each of the scroll it basically said the different things that we were responsible for in this bench of three, and they were stamped and they were sealed with the seal of the lion and the eagle and the ox. And so that's how we came to understand the different roles we had. Now those sort of tie in with our redemptive gifts. Our redemptive gifts within our bench of three are ruler, prophet, and teacher. And we were given things, you know, personally I was given a silver trumpet in a heavenly encounter, and that represents being able to herald things and speak things forth. One of our other guys was given a sword, and the other lady was given a spear, so there were weapons associated with it as well. But basically, we stepped in and we stepped into the court where we saw this stuff outworked, and then each of us had a revelation of how that would work with us. It's interesting because you have things like calls of God. In terms of our redemptive gift being our how we're made up, our identity in the sense of our personality and how it's wired to react and act and engage with the world around us. But you also have spiritual gifts and ministry gifts. So you might have the fivefold ministry gifts. You may have personal ministry. So some people operate in a healing gift. Some people in a miracle gift. You know, for prophet, apostle, you know, teacher, pastoral, or shepherding, I prefer to call it, and evangelistic, all those would be ministries of the Holy Spirit. And all these things begin to work together. You know, so understanding how you're wired up in your redemptive gift helps you outwork who you are as a a ministry gift and helps you to minister in different ways. And so understanding all that stuff works. So that's really how we identified those, how they work for us. It may well be different in different places. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about it. Main thing really is to know, you know, I can find out what my destiny is. You know, I can engage with the record room in heaven, and I can see my scroll, and I can find out, okay, how am I, what am I called to do? And then it all begins to fit together, and I sort of start to harmonize with that, and I start to connect up with that myself. So yeah, that's basically how it worked for us. Okay, got any other questions?
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm sure Regina has some, but she,
well, she has, but she seems to have disappeared slightly. Her avatar's there in three versions.
She's
but
going in and out today.
whether her internet connection's not working too well, I'm not sure. But carry on with this until she comes back.
Oh, you are gone too. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I still have, I'm still a bit mixed up about Israel. I know this is a totally different thing, but I'm mixed up because, okay, let me ask a direct question. What is still now our responsibility towards Israel?
That's really...
What do we have to pray for? Do we have to do still something, or is that all?
That's a very interesting question. And that has a multitude of potential answers, and some things I might say about that will offend some people. If I didn't say some things, it could offend other people.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to go into it in any great depth.
Yes, I even understand you.
But you need to go with what's in your own heart. If you feel that you're called to pray for a particular people group, and that might be Israel as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Israel as a nation effectively is a fairly secular nation.
Mm-hmm.
But some people feel called to the Jewish people to pray for them and to engage with that. I have no problem with that. I mean, you know, some people are also called to pray for other nations or that type of thing.
Yeah.
If you're sort of saying, you know, is there a theological reason why Israel is different from any other nations? Well, there's obviously people who would say, well, yeah, they're the covenant people of God, and therefore there's still a covenant there. And you have all the teaching there, whether there's replacement theology or whether there's, you know, covenant theology and continuation theology, and there's all sorts of theologies. My view is there's always ever only ever been one people of God.
Mm-hmm.
That started with Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
You follow the pathway through from them to Enoch, to Noah, to Abraham, right through to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there's always ever been one people of God, and those were the people who were of faith.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be of faith. It was never by race or genetics. It was by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of us have to engage with God by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Paul said, you know, not all Israel is actually Israel. It's those that are of faith.
Yeah.
And so not all Abraham's children were. It was those of the line of faith, which is through Isaac.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole lot of teaching around that. And and some people have different views. I don't want to fall out with anybody over it. And for me, that isn't the key issue. The key issue is, what am I called to do in the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do whatever I'm called to do. And if God tells me to do something and it's to associate with something with Israel or the Jewish people, I would do that. If he tells me to do something else, I'll do that. And so my personal rule in terms of the kingdom of God, I don't have any particular affinity with any particular people group. Desire is to mentor and to encourage people to embrace their destiny, and so I outwork what I'm called to do. Now, people have lots of different views of it. You know, I think there has always been one olive tree, if you like, and basically Israel as a nation were cut off as that branch of that olive tree.
Mm-hmm.
It continued through faith, and basically Paul talked about bringing Jews mm-hmm. and Gentiles together as one yeah. man.
Mm-hmm.
So that olive tree still remains the people of God.
Yeah.
Gentiles have been grafted into that, and it mm-hmm. indicates in Romans 11 that Israel will be regrafted back into that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. my view is that they'll be regrafted in by faith.
Yeah.
They still mm-hmm. need to come through Christ
mm-hmm.
in faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, God is reaching out to many Jewish people through dreams, and Jesus mm-hmm. is appearing to people through dreams, as mm-hmm. he is also to a lot of Muslim people as
yeah.
well. And people
yeah.
are being converted. And, you know, if those people in Israel embrace their heritage, if you like, as being originally part of that olive tree and that people of God, and they are embraced and back in, then I'm sure they're going to be a great blessing and to everyone else, because they have a understanding of the Hebrew mindset and worldview, which I'm sure will be a great blessing to everybody. Now, I don't feel that that will happen outside of a relationship in Christ. It has to come by faith through that thing, so that we'll be one. You know, so that we'll be one, working together, all grafted back in, to accomplish God's kingdom and God's kingdom purposes. So that's really where I am with it. You know, I don't want to take an extreme view either way. I'm just happy to do whatever God's calling me to do. And I don't want to fall out with anyone over it.
That's all right. That helps me a lot. Thanks for the answer.
Okay. So, have you got anything, Regina? You need to unmute yourself.
Times completely disconnected, so I had to come in and out. Can you see that on your side?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
yeah.
You're in at the moment, hopefully. So.
Yeah. So I missed the whole thing about Israel, and then you mentioned something about this bridge, and there you mentioned a name, something, but then it was all the time interrupted, and I was struggling.
Well, don't worry about what
yeah.
you've missed. I've recorded it, so you can go back and listen to it, because I thought I'd practice recording it today. So if you've got a question personally that you want to ask, then go with that.
Oh, your voice. What did you say? The last. Where
I just said
can
if you have a question, just ask your question now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I actually in the beginning I wanted already, but then it started already. For me it's kind of sometimes difficult to be very systematic. So I rather. So I feel sometimes like the last week I was again going through family generational stuff. I have done that already in the past several times, but it seemed that the Holy Spirit again put his finger on it, kind of. And so I did this mainly. So would you rather encourage me to go like this, or would you rather the advice to be
it's really difficult, I don't know, because your picture is breaking up and your vocals, so it's not very clear. I think your internet connection can't be too good. But
yes,
if you're asking
all the time.
Yeah, if you're asking about, you know, systematically working through things.
Yeah.
I'm a very systematic person, and so
yes.
I would look at dealing it systematically. So in terms of doing the gateways, I did it systematically. In terms of presenting myself as a living sacrifice, I did that systematically. But I know not everyone is as sort of systematic or disciplined or thinks the same way, because we've got different redemptive gifts and we're wired differently. So some people do it more relationally and they ask God to show them.
Yeah.
And or sometimes you use traumatic things or trials or troubles to show you things to deal with. I'm not into navel gazing to try and just find something to try and sort out. If God shows me something, I ask him to do it. So search me, O God, and show me. I'm not going to go searching myself. I allow him to show me, and so I allow him to give me any revelation, and he can do that directly, and he might speak to me directly and tell me something. He may use a situation which highlights a behavior or a thought pattern or something which manifests, which indicates that there may be an issue that then I can go and look at. So I'm just open. When I pray, search me, O God,
yes.
I'm really open for him to direct that search. And so, you know, when I was dealing with bloodline things, looking at the different kings, you know, the kings that have an effect on our lives now that were from past generations in bloodline, I just asked him to show me, were there behavior patterns which were coming from the past which were still affecting me? And he began to show me some things. You know, when you're looking at genetic stuff and seed line changes, then the way it worked for me is, I just asked him to show me at that deeper level, is there any iniquity in me? Is there any idolatry in me from the past or in my own life? You know, is there any wicked way in me? All coming from Psalm 139, that prayer. And when I would go to break bread and apply the body and blood of Jesus into transformation and taking on the DNA and God of the stuff that we do when we break bread, I got flashbacks of pictures and images that came back from my generational past. So some of them came from before the flood. And so I saw some things there which were strong indicators that there were particular seed line issues within my DNA that I needed to deal with. And to deal with them, I applied the body and blood of Jesus, and I spoke again those transforming words to resequence my DNA, to bring my DNA back into alignment and back into connection with what it should be before it got polluted. And I worked through that by God showing me particular images or things that highlighted it. Also, I saw some particular things which I would call more bloodline issues, which are more to do with behavioral things that were done, and I saw some pretty nasty things there, which I had to deal with. And so that was how it worked for me. It may be different for everybody, but when I saw the images, and particularly on the behavioral things, I took those things into the courts, because they were associated often with familiar spirits that were generational familiar spirits. And I took them into the court system, accepted on behalf of my forefathers, you know, anything I'd done, they'd done, and I'd done, I repented, renounced it, came under the judgment of God, and then got separation from it, and saw the judgment of God come against it. So there's so many different ways to experience inner healing, or, you know, and so, you know, people use Sozo, in this country they use L.L. Grange, which is a deliverance ministry. You know, there's Liebusters, which is, you know, this newer thing, which I think would be really excellent, because that seems to be a much more quicker process of seeing change, which is great. I'd rather have something quick. But the main thing is that we're open to the Holy Spirit, and we're open to the God to show us, rather than avoiding or hiding it or in denial or projecting it on others. We just need to be open to accept we are in a process of transformation. That process needs to be operating through the renewing of our mind to bring us into the confirmation to the image of God, rather than in from the image of our genetic makeup from our mother and father, or any spiritual things that have been passed on as familial spirits, or anything which is in our bloodlines, which is just there to hinder us or obstruct us or stop us coming into God's purposes. So, yeah, if you want to be systematic, that's great. If you want to just say, God, show me, that's also great. The main thing is get changed in the end.
Yeah.
And we're going to willing be to pursue that process continually, you know, but not to get caught up with, well, I have to change all this before I can be useful to God.
Yeah, God, that would be terrible.
He uses our heart. If we're willing and we're there, available, then he will use us. And hopefully he will transform us in our character, so that our character matches up the gifting and matches up to the anointing, because so many people can be gifted and anointed by God, but their character doesn't yet match up. And so long as we're willing for our character to be transformed, that the fruit of the Spirit has to grow, because fruit grows. Gifts are given.
Mm-hmm.
And so gifts can be given in an instant, but fruit grows, and it grows through the process of our lives and the trials and the overcoming and learning to conquer, learning to grow through those experiences, not to avoid them.
Yeah.
But it's not an easy process. You know, so my encouragement would be, there are different layers and levels that go on. And so God sometimes deals with the fruit on the surface.
Mm.
But if you don't deal with the roots that are associated with that fruit, then the fruit keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can deal with the roots and the fruit, but if you don't deal with the seed that produced the roots in the first place, they can come back. So you have to look at what caused the seed to be sown into our hearts that then produce roots and then produce shoots and fruit. And so it's seeing all three and understanding. And again, I do teaching on roots and fruits and shoots and stuff in the transformation series, because it's a really important thing to understand, because we have to deal with that seed of offense that was sown into our heart, because if we don't, it will still keep producing roots and shoots. Even if you try and deal with roots, the seed is what caused the roots to form. You get roots of bitterness, and you can try and deal with the roots of bitterness, but if there's a seed of offense, they will produce fruit of resentment.
Yeah.
And those three things, offense, bitterness, and resentment, those are the things the enemy uses in our lives to rob us and to destroy our lives. And so we've got to make sure that we deal with the seeds of offense. Therefore, we have to forgive people for the offense that was done or caused, and then we release them from the roots that were formed. And that's the outworking of that offense. So it's not just the original thing that someone did, where someone said something that hurt us, and that was a hurtful time and upset us, and we can forgive them for that event and say, I forgive you for saying those words. Mm-hmm. And so we've said those words of forgiveness, but actually those words have power, and if those words caused us to continually think about ourselves in a negative way as a result of what was said, and that might be an ongoing dripping tap repetitive thing, someone says you're no good, you're useless, you know, you'll never amount to anything, and you get that negative words that are spoken that undermines our confidence in who we are and our security, those words then not just happened there and that was it, they carried on influencing our life until they're dealt with. And so you have to release the debt, which deals with the roots that came out of that original offense. And by doing that, by releasing them, then there is no longer anything to produce further behavior or further things in our lives. So it's a really key revelation, using forgive and release to deal with the fruit on our lives, which is we repent of that fruit because we have outworked certain fruit and agreed with certain things that have been said, because they don't agree with what God says about us. So if we've believed, we feel rejected because no one loves us, because we've been told that we're not very lovable, and those sort of negative things that happen in our lives, you know, God does not say that about us. He says he accepts us, that we're his, the apple of his eye, and we're his beloved, and those things. And so in that, we have to make sure that we do not come into agreement with those words, because if there's power in agreement and we agree, and then we speak words out, so often the fruit of resentment is that we speak words out that agree with what people have said. Oh, yeah, I'm no good. No one loves me. And those negative things just reinforce the whole cycle. So we repent of the fruit, and we repent if that was behavioral issues that caused us to operate that way. But also we have to deal with this actual offense, the seed, by forgiving the original event or sequence of events. Yeah. And then we have to release people from the debt causing the roots to form. And if you don't deal with all three, then you don't get fully free. So there are levels of doing things. And the same thing applies really in all these areas of ministry and transformation. You know, you deal with the surface things, you deal with the motives of your heart, then you have to deal with anything that's genetic or spiritual, and you have to go through that process. But if we cooperate and we're proactive, then God will speed that process up. If we're not proactive, he'll use circumstances to bring things to the surface and keep giving us opportunities. We just get to go round the mountain another time. You know, we're never failures unless we quit. We're still a work in progress, and sometimes there are mountains that are very difficult or very painful or are really difficult that we go round a few times before we're willing to deal with it and move it. But as long as we keep going, then we're going to be still in that process of transformation, and God will still be working with us. And, you know, there are some great ministry things around the world, and SOZO and different things that God is using. You know, we just need to find something that works for us. But I want something that's going to be powerful and effective and really starts to work. So, you know, we're going to go for lie-busting training here so that we can minister to people and fast-track them into the purposes of God and their destiny, because we want to set people free to know who they are, to know their heavenly position as sons, to rule on those mountain thrones so that we can transform earth and bring it into alignment with heaven and bring that harmony back into creation that God desires us to have. And he wants us to be effectively working with him to produce. So, just continue the process. Don't give up. You know, and don't get disappointed that sometimes it takes several cycles to deal with something. That's the revelation that we've had in the past. The revelation in the past has not necessarily been full revelation. And so we're getting further revelation that we add to those things so that we can actually see these things have come about, because ultimately we all want to be transfigured beings of light that manifest the glory of God on the earth to transform it. And that's where we all want to go, I guess, and so we've got to be willing to go along that process, knowing that there's a purpose in it. I know a lot of people can get caught up in the continually looking for the things in their lives. If they're doing that where there's no purpose in it, then it can be just an end in itself and just be a spiral that we get caught in. There has to be a purpose. That purpose is that we are sons of God and rule and manifest the kingdom through our lives, through that gateway that's open, through the open heaven that's over us, to bring transformation, you know, to change things. You know, that means we need to deal with sickness. We need to deal with deliverance. You know, we need to be able to see the kingdom of God. The things that Jesus did in his ministry, preached, healed, and delivered, that's just the very basic stuff that every single Christian should do as a matter of course. You know, that's the stuff we do here, but there's also a responsibility of sonship, which is an eternal thing that is actually in the heavens. And we have to also find out what our eternal destiny is from the heavenly perspective to also empower and change things at different sorts of levels on the earth. There's, you know, that's another subject. So. Okay.
Just a technical question. When I can't hear you anymore, can I just do anything about it? I just turned it off then completely and went in again, but sometimes it took several minutes, so I lost, like, in the
if your internet
group session also.
Yeah, if your internet connection is dropping out.
Yeah.
Then there's nothing really much you can do about it,
yeah,
other than
yeah.
you can unplug your router and maybe set your router. But I'm Wild Trout, and my pictures are perfectly fine, so the stream isn't a problem from our side. It must be your connection today.
Yes, will we also have a meeting this evening in the group?
Yeah, we're going to hang out tonight. 7:30 our time is 8:30 your time.
Oh, agree in prayer that it will not be interrupted again like last time. So I am looking forward to that. Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll see you tonight. If you're around tonight, we'll catch up tonight. Okay?
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.